The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. And so glad you've joined us as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible. You got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. It's real simple. It's toll-free, and it's for you. We've got some lines open, so if you want to be part of the program today, just give us a call. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker daily now on CSN in the morning times, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike. It's great to be with you and all the listeners out there. Looking forward to another great program. And I was just thinking about what's going on in our world today, and so many believers can be running to and fro, kind of scared about what's happening in our world. But you know what? It just means that Jesus is coming back real soon. Let's get our family and friends saved. Let's get our enemies saved. And let's go for God. That's the way I see it in these last days, Mike. And these are exciting times because Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And now these are days of salvation as we have the evidence thereof through the Word of God. And what a joy it is to be on the program with you today and all the listeners.
So yeah, good you to be too. With you, Mike. Look forward to being with you. And again, we're living in a very, very volatile world, now equipped with $65 billion worth of America's latest technology in Iraq in our enemy's hands. Now, President Biden said that it was decommissioned, it was demilitarized. But the truth of the matter is, as we've seen so many pictures of the Taliban holding up the weapons in the Humvees and all the other things now that they have inherited from this absolute insane withdrawal from Afghanistan. In fact, as I've mentioned before, I believe it'll go down in history as probably the top five stupid military blunders of all humankind. Oh, the Trojan horse, the Waterloo, and Joe's withdrawal from Afghanistan, giving to the Taliban the reason that we were in, and Al-Qaeda, the reason we were in Afghanistan in the first place was to stop the terrorist cells that were there that flew the planes into our buildings 20 years ago. Yeah, that's how we got there. But for some reason, the American news media, they forgot and they don't tell people that. Yeah, you ever heard that on 9/11? We'll never forget. Oh, America's long forgotten. And the American news media has made sure of that. Because you see, we don't want people to know why we were in Afghanistan. We were there to stop the terrorist cells. But Joe don't understand that. Or if he does, he's a traitor and gave them $65 billion worth of our latest technology. Friends, this is a crime against the entire earth. And what a absolute foolish move this was. We know we left him with 8 fully functioning Apache helicopters that can be sold on the black market for reverse engineering to China or anybody else that wants to build one. Yeah, it took us billions of dollars to develop this, and they got them for free. That's right. And who got them? Our sworn enemies. Yeah, the ones that flew the planes into the Twin Towers and into the Pentagon. Yeah. Way to go, Joe. Just a little bit longer. And you know, America, you're not going to have to worry about an election. You're not going to have to worry about anything because we're not going to exist. You think I'm kidding? Review 9/11, 1991, if you think I'm kidding. These people are dedicated to destroying our way of life. Friends, I wish I was kidding. I wish I was telling you something else. But oh no, there is a reason. Now listen, There's a reason why America is not an end time prophecy. Exactly what that is, I don't know. Is it that we all get saved and we're raptured? Well, that'd be nice, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. Could it be a succession of just earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and natural disasters? Could be. Could be a civil war within America to stop the lunacy of what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Could be a surprise attack from China or Russia or North Korea or Al-Qaeda on these cell groups, these people that they've hauled over here by the millions for immigration. We don't know what their real game is. There's no way of knowing. Well, we vetted them. How do you vet a person with the police departments totally burned out? They don't have that information. So when they say, oh, they're fully vetted, that, my friends, is a lie. That's what they want you to believe. But they don't know because there's no central place of information for to find out who's coming in our country. You say, Mike, well, what difference does it really make? Only this, that until the Lord comes, the kind of lifestyle, the life, the ability to help other people we're going to have. So we need to be about our daddy's business. Work for the night is coming when no one can work. Again, we know we're up against incredible things. And now with Al-Qaeda probably being the fourth most equipped arsenal, army on earth with our weaponry, and they are our sworn enemy. Friends, this is not going to end well. I don't know who got paid off in Washington. I got to believe that people just aren't this stupid. I think a third grader could logically step through. We're going to give almost $100 billion worth of our latest technology to our enemies, and this is going to end well? Is everybody gone in the head here? But this is what's happening now, and this is the problems we're up against. So where does that leave you and me as Christians? I'm glad you asked. Work for the night's coming when no one can work. I believe we need to take every advantage, every opportunity we can to let people know about Jesus and do not take the mark. You know, you want to reject me, you want to reject Jesus Christ, then I got one thing left to tell you, reject the mark. You reject the mark, because if you take the mark of the beast, you won't go to heaven. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. It doesn't matter whether John or Jill or somebody else says, oh, no, you can take the mark of the beast, he'll go to heaven. No, no, no. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says clearly, you take the mark, you've doomed your soul. Remember that. So I tell people, well, you know, I don't have time for that God stuff. I don't like that stuff. Well, whatever it is, don't take the mark because it's coming. And, you know, we're seeing, I believe, Daryl, the world being conditioned right now. I think we're seeing the world being conditioned with the whole vaccination thing. The vaccinations don't work, America. They don't work. And I wish our American news media and the medical and the government would stop lying to everybody. We have a nurse here. We know she goes to the Magic Valley Memorial Hospital. Over 60% of the COVID patients that they've had in the last few, like in the last month, have been vaccinated. Over 60%. Yeah, that's what she said. She says, we're told to cover it up. We're told not to tell anyone. Well, she told the wrong person. She told me. But the point is that people need to know this. And these new strains that are coming out, what are they all about? Completely have nothing to do with the vaccinations don't stop them. The new, did you hear about that one? The new one,
Lambda?
Lambda is bad. And then there's another new one that's based, as I told everybody, out of Africa. And this is the C, I think it's the C12 or C12 or whatever it is. It's pretty violent. The president of Moderna, one of the vaccination companies, said COVID's going to be with humanity forever because it morphs, it changes, it gets smart, it outsmarts the vaccines, just like a lot of the viruses today that penicillin used to treat. Penicillin's useless. They've morphed. They've become immune to penicillin. Well, that's what's happening, everyone. You need to be aware of it. Well, the only reason that these morphing diseases is because everybody's not been vaccinated. That's a lie from the pit of hell. This stuff is morphing right now. You can completely stomp out all of COVID right now. Globally, all you need is one person, and here it all starts again. That's right, because it morphs. And they can't keep up with the vaccinations. Even if they worked, they couldn't keep up with it. So, I mean, logic, friends, is really important. And for some reason, you know, people have rejected truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You reject Jesus, you'll believe a lie about everything, whether it's about the way we live today or about eternity. You know, Daryl, I know that why he's going back into kind of a quasi-lockdown.
What do you got? You know, Mike, I've lost you in my headphones, but I'll try to answer the question. If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up. Right now, Hawaii is going into a situation where they're going to have vaccination cards have to be shown or pictures thereof to show to the restaurants or to the theaters and so forth. That you've been vaccinated. If you haven't been vaccinated, you won't be allowed to come in, which I think is ridiculous. People make your own choices, and yet no mandates from the government. We need freedom and freedom fully in all things. And when we look at our world today and we see all the things that are happening right now, we recognize that we're living in the last days. You know, the Lord Jesus has spoken to us in Matthew 24 about the pestilences and the kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. Earthquakes in various places. It's a woman going into labor. It's going to get worse and worse and worse as she's gone into those labor pains, and they become more frequent, more intense. Excuse me. And we're seeing it right now in our world. And these are all the warnings of the Lord. You know, just as the Lord had fulfilled 456 prophecies in his first coming, so he's going to fulfill close to 1,000 in his second coming. We're seeing these fulfillments taking place for us right now, and they become tools for us to share the gospel with those who are lost. The word of God will never come back void. People can argue with you to your both blue in the face, but when they have to argue with the word of God, it's a truth that is supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it will haunt them night after night, day after day, until they come to know Jesus Christ. So this is so vitally important for us to realize what's happening in our world creates great opportunities for the believer to share their faith. We are not to be afraid. We're not to be in panic. We're to be in prayer. We're watchful. Jesus says, watch and pray to the disciples. And that's what we have to do. We watch the word of God. We watch what's happening in our world and culture. And then we declare the gospel message of salvation so that all people can be saved. And these are the last days, and Christians need to be sprinting in this great race that we're in and grabbing as many people as possible, inviting them to church, inviting them to home fellowships, inviting them to listen on the radio, inviting them to listen to Every Man an Answer, whatever it might be, so that people can get the knowledge they need. Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not in the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. So we need to bring that light and truth and love and grace and mercy into their hearts, because they're disturbed, they're distressed, they're depressed. I mean, this has been a tough 2 years right now, and doesn't look like it's getting a whole lot better. Slowly but surely, you got red states making the right changes, but these Democratic states and with a Democratic president, they just continue to lead us into more of a mess. Mike, I don't know if you're back on. Are
Amen.
You there?
I am.
Okay.
So I think we got a loose wire in here somewhere. I don't know what it is.
I wish you just keep talking or not. But
I
anyway,
don't know what it is. But anyway, well, let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have a line open right if you guys want to jump on as well. And let's go to Robert, Elko, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I've been listening to CSN for 2 years, and I start my mornings with it, and I usually finish my evenings with it. And I was listening to Pastor Tony Evans last night, and he was ragging on his people that he has 30-year Christians that are still in their infant stage. Mm-hmm. And he said, I have so much I'd love to share with all of you, but you're still in your infant stage. And with my hearing, I could never quite pick up from him what he recommended for infant Christians to mature.
Well, here's the thing. When you're involved in ministry, for instance, you really matured in the Lord. You've got in, read your Bible. God's lit a fire in you, filled you with the Holy Spirit. You've got a zeal for the lost. You got a zeal for being gathered together with other fellow saints. You're not just coming to church to increase your social club or your pyramid scheme with the circles on a pyramid or something like that, but you're actually going to church because you want to be with God's people. You want to come and set that time aside to just realign your front end to make sure that, you know, you're talking to God and speaking to God and you're an influence, you're blessing him. Well, what also comes along with that, and unless you've matured in Christ, you wouldn't understand this, is the persecution that comes along with that. You don't have to be in the Sudan to be persecuted for being a Christian. You can be persecuted for being a Christian when you're the only Christian in your home. You're the only Christian in your family. You're the only Christian at your job. Yeah, and see these things. And so when we come together and we say, hey, I'm under a lot of spiritual attack. People that are nominal, they're no threat to the kingdom of darkness. They're not going to lead anybody to Christ. The devil doesn't even waste time with them. We cause most of our own problems anyway. So the devil doesn't have to do anything with them. But when you really become that person that's a threat to the kingdom of darkness, and then hell breaks open on you and you see the persecutions as Paul talked about, I was shipwrecked day and night in the deep, beaten by my own fellow countrymen. He lists all the credentials for him being a pastor. The nominal Christian, or the Christian that's a baby Christian and could have been that way, as Tony Evans said, for 30 years. Doesn't even understand it. Yeah, I got persecuted, man. Somebody pulled the Jesus bumper sticker off my car. You know, they think that's persecution. Well, could it be? Maybe. But what I'm talking about is where you got people going around deliberately lying about you, saying things about you that they themselves are guilty of so much more, oftentimes even in the ministry. And they're guilty of all these other things. Your infraction may be very small. What they're about is major, but they want to focus on you. That's because you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And people that have not matured in Christ don't understand, I believe, first of all, the depth of the love of God. And number two, they don't understand the real enemy that we have in this world. Now, it isn't just in the New Testament. You look at King David. You look at all these examples, as it says in the book of Jude, are our examples. We look back in the Old Testament. We can see what went on. But if you're a mover and a shaker, and you're talking to another mover and a shaker, you know exactly what they're going to be going through. But for a person that's a nominal Christian, not gauged by years of being a Christian, but dedication in serving Christ, I've met people that have been saved a year that I believe are more spiritually mature than many ministers that I know that have been preaching for 20 years. So the thing is, I believe this is why not only does Paul say these things, but also we find Tony and some of the others saying those things. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's vitally important. It's Tony Evans is an excellent Bible teacher and evangelist. He does a great job in the ministry of God's word, but he's recognizing that so many Christians have sat on their laurels. We're not sure what a laurel is, but they've been sitting on them and not engaging in the kingdom of God.
Hardy's been sitting on laurel.
Yeah, exactly. And so they go to church, but they do nothing, and they're not involved. Every Christian, as you are saved and you're growing in the Lord, you're a newborn babe desiring the pure milk of the Word of God. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, as Peter says, in the book of Acts chapter 2, it says, as the new Christians came to salvation on the day of Pentecost through Peter's preaching and evangelizing them and so forth through Jesus Christ, it says they studied the word, the apostles' doctrine, they had fellowship together, they prayed together, they shared together, they worshiped together, went from house to house together and helped each other out. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so as we get saved and we start growing in the Word of God, we also need to study the Word of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And then we need to engage ourselves in Acts. That's why you have the Gospels, then you have the book of Acts. We all need to be action Christians. And what frustrates some pastors, and all of it, all pastors really, is you keep teaching, you got to beg people to get involved in a ministry or to help out with the children's ministry or to help out with the usher's ministry. Whereas people should be, as born-again Christians, they're excited to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to get involved. They can't wait to hear that announcement. We need help here. We need help here. We need help here. And then they get on the move. That's when a church gets on the move. It's going to get on the move locally. It's going to get on the move globally. It's going to do a great and mighty work. And this is really how all of us Christians need to be. Lord, how can you use me? We devote so much time to the world and to the workplace and to the internet and to entertainment and all these different things. But I tell you, there's no greater joy than devoting yourself in the work of the kingdom of God. There's no greater reward in life than watching people's lives get saved and then changed and empowered by the Holy Spirit and watch God use their lives and bless their lives and their families. And I think this might be, and I didn't hear the message that he gave, but I just might be where he was heading with this, so that we as believers in Jesus Christ would be an active body, exercising the gifts of the Spirit, exercising every gift and talent that God has given us, and putting them all to work for the kingdom of God. And many people have some tremendous talents that God has given them throughout their lives. They need to invest those talents in the kingdom and in the church and the work of the kingdom. And let's keep winning souls and making disciples. That's what Jesus died for. Mike, I'm back
to
you.
Yeah, yeah. And so I hope that shed some light on it.
Listening to all my Bible teachers on CSN, and I haven't been going out trying to find a church. I have prayed for a church. I have asked God to lead me, and my Bible teachers tell me a lot of times they say, just stay out of the way, be quiet, grow in patience, and wait for God. And some of them say, I know it's not easy waiting on God, but just wait on him. Well, Elko's not really famous for having Bible teaching churches. And I called you one time, and you recommended I come over to your church. So I towed my three-axle toy hauler over there, and you let me park it in their back parking lot there. And I went to church, and you came out there, and you visited with me. And I was talking about what you had told me about the blessings of the oil and the elders. And I just thought maybe I've heard Pastor Jeff Rickard say it before too. You need to be like jump started, you know, your Holy Spirit. Because Tony Evans says you'll never sit there in your toy hauler and, well, you didn't use those words, but listen to these Bible studies and you will never mature by listening to Bible studies. I follow scripture with the Bible studies in the mornings and the evenings. And he says, well, you'll never become mature that way. So
Go ahead, my friend.
2 years of Bible studies, and I don't feel like I've gained. Well, it kind of bothered me when he said that I would never mature by listening to Bible studies.
Oh, and you may have misunderstood him. I think God's word never returns void. So whether we're listening in church, listening on the radio, reading the Bible on our own, reading commentaries on our own, I believe that's going to transform you. And that is going to cause a level of maturity that is not... See, because you got to remember, when people say in general, well, going to church or, you know, listening to a sermon, that's not going to... Well, you got to remember, most people, most churches today do not teach the Bible. They teach... positive confession, self-motivation, self-realization. No, you're not going to mature at all there. But I believe when you hear the word of God, the Bible says, thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The reason why the Bible says that is that fortifies us to stand up to the onslaughts of the enemy, because the more we do for God, the more the fire gets. And I would just tell anybody listening today, if God has used you in an area and used you and used you dynamically. I would tell you this, don't run. God's not done with you yet. And it's the devil. The devil's trying to stop you and squelch you, because that's just the way the devil works. But don't give up. And certainly I wouldn't give up either. So I hope that helps.
Well, I'm just waiting on God hitting me somewhere.
If I could add one last thing, is this. We can learn the word of God for our own self-satisfaction. I'm not saying this is you. We can learn the word of God for our own self-satisfaction. Well, I've been going to church. I've been learning the word of God. I've read the Bible so many times, Genesis and Revelation. No, what the maturity is when you put feet to your faith, when you become active in the body of Christ, when you are actively helping in various ministries. It may start small, but God says, if you're faithful in the little things, I'll make you faithful in greater things. As Paul said, the love of Christ compels me. In other words, this man of God loved Jesus. He recognized how much Jesus did for him, and he's going to just keep marching on, keep spreading the gospel, making disciples. And this is what God has called us to do. So my advice really is for Christians that are growing in the word of God, and is now get involved and talk to your pastor. Say, how can I help out? How can I get involved? What can I do around here? And maybe some simple things, maybe some great things. I don't know. But you know what? If everybody's involved, we've got a great army, a great team of people, a great family of God that's going to do a great mighty work in the local community throughout your state, and then across this nation and into the whole world. And that becomes very exciting. And that might be what Tony's talking about. You got to get involved, folks. You got to get involved. Don't just sit there and be a pew warmer or a critic out there. You know, that sermon was pretty good, whatever. You know, no, hey, let's all get involved. Let the Lord use our lives. Mike, I'll hand it back to
you. Yeah, in fact, Jesus himself said this in John 16:12. And you might want to reference this, because I believe this is probably what Tony was talking about. John 16:12. And in John 16:12, it says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He's saying you can't understand them yet if you look at the context, but you will as you grow in Christ. Stay in line. We'll send you out some gifts. And again, thanks for calling. Look forward to seeing you again. Coming up on a break, everyone. We'll be back for more right after this. Don't go away.
Emmy was in a bad relationship when she found out she was pregnant. Her boyfriend told her to get an abortion, which she seriously considered.
I knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Emmy went to a preborn center in need of guidance.
They honestly were able to put every fear at ease and let me know that it was going to be okay. I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here.
Preborn clinics introduce moms in crisis to their babies through ultrasound, while providing hope, love, and the gospel in action. When an expectant mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. To learn how you can rescue a baby's life, just go to csnradio.com. That's csnradio.com. And click on the preborn banner or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-2229. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
You're listening to CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including many stations in great cities in Georgia. You can listen in Athens, Savannah, Danielsville, Buford, and many more. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship, or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
Welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. We Went to the break. We just got done with Robert. And with that, we're going to go to Yolanda, Fremont, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I truly appreciate you all. Thank you so much for being and sticking to the Word of God. I don't know. I can't hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Okay, yeah. Okay, great, great. So thank you both for being a part of my life. Mike, you've been a part of my life for over 40 years, I'm sure. And I've been a born-again Christian for 52 years.
Wow.
And in those 52 years, I've really gotten involved with God and with the ministries and just really servicing the Lord in however I can, just for His glory. And my husband and I both have done many different things for the church. But we're at a point now where we're just home, but we still listen to you guys every day. If it's not Shannon, it's Daryl. If it's not Daryl, it's Jeff. If it's not Jeff, it's Mike. And we love you guys. You guys are so, so right on. Right on. And God bless you for that. And you're very direct when you say that God's word does not come back voided, and it doesn't. And not only that, but God's word never changes. And but one of the reasons I'm also calling is because first, I praise God for all of your ministries. And number two, I have a brother that has been a Christian for many years as well. But unfortunately, within the last year, he's lost both of his legs due to diabetes. And I've been pretty much the caregiver, and I took a stand back because he was abusing me emotionally, draining me spiritually, and I got to the point where God just told me to kind of stand back, but that was the hardest thing for me to do, and I still kind of regret it, but everyone tells me that I've done the right thing because my brother was draining me. Spiritually. But today in talking with him today, it kind of did a job on me because he told me he didn't want God in his life anymore. He says, I want nothing to do with God. I just want to die and go to hell. And so when he said that, it just broke me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Daryl, your thoughts?
You know, he's obviously distraught in his situation. And each and every one of us as believers in Christ, as individuals, we need to come to that place is, where does my hope come from? It only comes from the Lord. The Lord is our only hope. You can't put hope in doctors. You can't put hope in your body. You can't put hope in anything else. This life is temporary. We're all going to die of something. And yet we know when we trust in Jesus Christ, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to get a glorified body that's made for eternity. This life is so short. And I tell you what, eternity in hell. And you think it's tough now. You ain't seen nothing yet. And you just need to pray for him and you need to continue to reach out to him. But don't set yourself up for emotional, verbal, or mental abuse from him, especially physical, of course, hopefully not. And it's important to realize that this is what you have to you share with him and you love him. He's distraught. You got to pray for him and just say, you don't really mean that. That's a lie from the enemy. And, let's turn to Jesus. Let's pray. And I would just keep steering him back. Every time he goes crazy like that, just, you know what? Let's pray together right now because you know what? God has a plan for you. It's, and we're going to be together in heaven as you give your heart to Christ and you don't want to deny the Lord. You're in a tough situation like so many people. I mean, I just shared with the congregation this Sunday about the life of Paul and all the beatings and the shipwrecks and the stonings. And he died. He was just stoned to death one time. He came back to life. And then, of course, he ends up having his head cut off. You know, here he was, a prisoner of Rome. And so, you know, when we look at his life and our lives, we all go through tough times. But you know what? As I said earlier, it's the love of Christ that compels us. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And just quote scripture to him. Say, you know what? Remember what Paul said? He says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We want to go to heaven. Let's all go to heaven. So you got to fight against that spiritual warfare that's taking place in his mind and his soul. And just keep ministering to him, Mike.
Amen. And I think that really, you know, when you look at this, he's frustrated he sees his life winding down. And I would just, let's pray for him. Can we do that?
Amen.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name when we just pray for this man that you would bind Satan from his thoughts, that Lord, that the devil's been lying to him. And we just pray that you bind the strong man. And Lord, that your spirit of truth can come upon him and that he will understand the great, wonderful opportunity that he has to have his sins forgiven and live with you forever. And so may you give her the right words. Lord, touch her. And again, thank you for her love for him, that she takes care of him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Stay online.
God bless you, Yolanda.
Yolanda, we'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay, that perhaps you can get him a pizza, sit down and watch them with him, okay?
No, that's kind of impossible. I had to put him in a nursing home. Mm. So that's why where all the anger is coming from.
Oh.
Because I wanted to get him closer to home. I'm in Fremont and he's in Salinas. So I wanted to get him closer home. And now I can't because I'm not authorized to do so. I'm not legally his power of attorney. It's always been hearsay. Now I can't do anything for him. So he's angry with me. And so today he finally told me, you know, some pretty bad things, and I just let it go. And just,
well, I think you need to tell him it isn't God's fault. You know, we live in a fallen world. God put man in a perfect place. We refuse to live there. God says, the only thing I ask, don't eat of that tree. It's not good for you. And instead of saying, okay, I won't drink the stuff under the bathroom sink. Oh, mom and dad just don't like us. They won't let us drink the stuff underneath the sink, the Drano and all. Well, God says, don't eat of that tree. It's not good for you. And instead of people going, okay, we'll stay away from it. No, that's the one they want to eat of. Well, you might say they ate themselves out of house and home and they were kicked out of the garden. But that wasn't God's design. That was man's design, Satan's design. And we've been living in this fallen world with fallen bodies ever since. What I'm saying is a body that breaks down, that gets sick, that dies. But you know, when you're born again, the Bible says you're going to get a brand new body. And we're not exactly sure what we're going to be, but we know when we see him, Paul says we're going to be like him. And I think that's a pretty good deal. So I would just go back and I would counteract that. I would say, you can't blame God for what the devil does. Do you think, you watch all those suffering people in Afghanistan? You look at people around the world under dictatorships. Do you think God did that to them? Or do you think man and the devil does that to themselves? It's the truth, friends. I mean, look at the alcoholic. You can see a businessman, successful, has made a lot of money, gets into drinking, loses his health, loses everything that's valuable to him, and then wants to blame God. Really? Did you ever think that maybe it might be your choices? It may be your lifestyle. It may be your decision in your life. Who's going to be your master? And I think sometimes, Yolanda, tough love is what we have to have. And I think sometimes when somebody wants to do that, so next time you talk to him, if he starts in on that again, just say, you know, you can't blame God for this.
Yeah,
a diabetes that caused his leg loss, was it an inherited thing, or is it just because of a poor diet?
Inherited.
Well, see, we're in a fallen world, and we all inherit things that don't work right. Many people, you know, they inherit from their genetic pool deafness, bad eyesight, birth deformities, you name it. It's all because of the sin of man. But that wasn't God's original design. Daryl, any last thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about your situation here, and here he is, the situation. He's distraught, man, and so forth. And you made the right decision for yourself, because you don't have to be someone's whipping post. But the Lord does say, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully, who spitefully use you and persecute you. Maybe even at this distance that you have now, that he's away to be taken care of, and you're not going to be abused, which I think is a healthy situation. But maybe you can just send him, I don't know if he likes chocolate chip cookies or something, or, you know, just send him those little peace offerings, if you will. Not that you need to make peace with him, but he needs to make peace with you. But you don't hate him. You love him. You still care about him. You're praying for him with a little scripture or something like that. Well, I don't know if you can't have cookies with diabetes, but anyway, whatever you think might be a good food for him, and then minister to him, or just as a gift or something like that. I don't know. And just keep reaching out to him with the love of Jesus. I mean, that's, you go an extra mile, you give him your shirt, as Jesus said. And this is the most difficult part of our Christian life, to be honest with you, because so many times when people treat you badly, you want to get revenge, you want to do this. I don't see that in your heart, of course. It might be in my heart, but it's, I don't see in your heart. And the Lord says, hey, keep reaching them and keep loving them. So, you know, just see, maybe there's certain ways you can send stuff up to where he's at in this convalescent area, and maybe minister to him, and just keep reaching out with the love of Jesus. That's the best advice I can give you right now.
Amen. I hope that helps, dear.
I thank you both. God bless you.
Okay. Well, we'll send God those out you. To you. Maybe they have a DVD player at the home where he's Could staying. But I'll send them to you, and a couple little, and I'll give you a little book called Time to Grow. You might let him look at that. Stay on line, Yolanda. We'll get you taken care of, and may the Lord just give you the wisdom and the words to speak to him in Jesus' name. Let's go to Robert, Nevada. Hi, welcome. Robert, are you there? Hello? Looking for Robert. Are you there? I don't hear Robert.
Okay,
well, we'll go to Tom. Okay. We'll go to Tom in Phoenix. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike. You'd mentioned about how well-equipped we left the Taliban when we pulled out of Afghanistan. There's a group in the Pashtun Valley of Afghanistan that is fiercely anti-Taliban. Mm-hmm. And each time the Taliban has attempted to take them over, they've been rebuffed with heavy casualties. I'm just wondering if you was aware of that. And I'm going to hang up and listen to your program.
Oh, well, wonderful. I'm so glad you called. There are pockets of resistance within Afghanistan that have not capitulated to the Taliban or ISIS or the other terrorist groups that have made that safe haven for themselves. And there are those groups. I would probably call them freedom fighters. Unfortunately, I believe for most of them, they're not as well equipped now because of the wonderful gift that our Joe Biden has given our enemy, and has. That is a full-on gift. $65 billion worth of American war technology squarely now in the hands of our sworn enemy. No excuse for it. None whatsoever. It was not demilitarized. Maybe they pull the plug out of a typewriter or a computer. I don't know, but there's a lot of pictures coming out of Afghanistan right now with the Taliban parading their weapons that they got in the cache that we gave them. This is not some mystery. This is a lie. They gave that to them. Why did they do that? Why did President Obama give Iran $200 billion in gold when he was president? I don't know what's going on with the Democrats and the terrorists, but maybe truly they do want to destroy America, just like the governor of Oregon and the mayor of Portland and Seattle as they let their cities just crumble into the dust. I don't understand why anybody would do that, why they don't round up groups like Antifa, put them in jail as terrorists, domestic terrorists. They don't do anything. So I've got to conclude, as the Bible says, if you're not with us, you're against us. And you got to realize that. You know, they said, we saw a group of people casting out demons in your name. We bid them to stop. And Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. But the also you can say, if they're not for us, they're against us. And any group of people that would equip 65 billion with a B armament, making them the fourth most powerful army on earth that is a sworn enemy of the United States. Boy, that is some kind of leadership. Not. And I think every American, Democrat, Republican, independent, illegal alien, for that matter, needs to say, what is going on here? This is an outrage. And again, as I said in the first part of the program, will go down as probably one of the top three or top five military blunders in the history of man. Yeah, the Trojan horse, Waterloo, Joe giving our enemy $65 billion in American technology that will be used against us, Israel, and the free world. Oh yeah, friends, it's going to change. This is going to be a game changer. This is why I believe the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, perplexity among nations. Now you have this huge amount of high developed drone bombs, everything that we've got all now in their hands. There's not going to be a safe place on earth to live. I believe it's paving the way for the Antichrist to come along. But more than that, I believe the rapture. And I believe Jesus is coming to take his church home. And I pray for every person listening right now. You know that if Jesus Christ came right now, you would go when Gabriel blows. I'm serious. And the reason why you know is not because you've been good, not because I joined the right church. There is no such thing as the right church. The right church is the family of Jesus Christ. Yeah, they meet in different buildings with different names all over the world. But if you think an organization, an organized religion is going to get you into heaven, that is not what the Bible teaches. There's only one way we come to Christ, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ, what he shed for us. He did for you and me what we could never do in ourselves. I could never do enough good things to earn heaven. The only reason I get to go to heaven is because God was good. I accepted that gift of what Jesus did for me. I pray you do for you. And that's what makes me holy. It isn't I'm holy. I sin every day. I don't want to. But I know I do. Sometimes we get thoughts. Sometimes we get angry at somebody that signals left and turns right. We get mad all the time. But the thing is that I don't go to him because I'm good. I go to him because he's good. And my faith is in him. That doesn't mean, oh, I accepted Christ. I can live like the devil now. No, we're not talking about that. We're saying, if you abide in him, that's what the Bible says. It's not works. It's faith. And is your faith in Christ today, the one who died for you? And that's what allows us to go to heaven. And that's the good news of the gospel. Religions, oh, they'll say, well, get out there, knock on doors, wear blue, sealed in the temple, you name it, whatever. They got all these formulas. The problem is, it's works. And how do you know when you die if you did enough works? It's too late to go back and change it. What are you going to do then? So, again, how important it is. Let's go to Trish, San Antonio, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I have a question about the books of the Bible.
Yes.
My sister, who's a Catholic, sent me this podcast, and it says that there's like 777 books in the Bible. There's actually 888 if you include the Book of Giants, and they're in tunnels underneath the Vatican. And I told her, I don't add to my Bible or subtract from my Bible. I just read what's in it. But what do you say to something like that?
Well, the church fathers rejected it when they canonized our scripture. When they put together the books of our Bible today, it was junk then when they would read some of these books, the Gospel of Judas or some other book of Enoch. Junk then, junk now. It was not canonized then. And it's not to be recognized now as scripture. And this is the problem. We find many people trying to lay claim. The Apocrypha, for instance, the other books in the Catholic Bible, Jesus never quoted from them. None of the New Testament people did either. See, that's one of the great problems we have. They're not verified. They're full of mistakes. So that's why they're not canonized. In order to be canonized, it had to be flawless. Your thoughts?
Yeah, a lot of historical inaccuracies in all these other books, whether it be the Apocrypha or the Gospel According to Mary Magdalene and these other things, the Book of Enoch and so forth. All these things, they have some elements of truth, but yet they're not full of God's truth, God's inspiration, what God has planned, what God has put together. So it's important for us to realize that as we look to the scriptures, what God has given us is, like Mike just said, is a very, very excellent statement, is that did Jesus comment on those other books? No, he did not. He commented on what we have today. I think all of them are commented on, except for one is Esther, which is a book of history for the Jewish people, as well as the apostles. And this is why we have what's known as the inspired canon of scripture. It's been thoroughly vetted. It's been ground down to, is this accurate? Is this truth? Historically, culturally, prophetically, is the inspiration of God there? Yes, 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 yes. Such as for example, the Roman Catholic Church is the doctrine of purgatory. It's not found in the Bible. You can't find that. Jesus, it goes against what Jesus said. Jesus talks about the life after death in Luke 16, about you're either going to go to Hades, which is a place of torment, or you're going to go to a place of paradise. Now Christians will go to heaven, of course, but there's no waiting place where people can pray you out of and light candles, and you're ultimately going to get out of this prison of purgatory because you had sinned and not done right repentance for those sins. So they're going to pray you out. That's a bogus lie. Jesus tells us that you can't, once the person goes to this one place, then comes the judgment. There's no second chances after death. So it's a complete contradiction. The praying to Mary is a whole nother issue. They're praying to Mary. Jesus says, no, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But yet the Roman Catholic Church says you're to pray to Mary. They go to Marian shrines and worship these apparitions of Mary, which is demonic. And we have to realize these things. So it's unfortunate that your sister, she's ill-informed. She has not been taught the Word of God. She doesn't understand the inspiration of Scripture. And here's a great opportunity for you to help her grow in that area of her life and bring her to the truth through Jesus Christ. She'll be born again of the Holy Spirit of truth and be led into the Word of truth, which is the Bible itself. Mike?
Yeah, the book of Jude quotes Enoch, but it's a saying of Enoch, not from the book of Enoch. And it's very important that people don't make that mistake. Because the book of Enoch is not, Enoch would have been really before the flood, if you will. And that book, the book of Enoch that is being circulated, and trying to be passed off as some kind of, scriptural authority is bogus. It's several sections of it. But it's just not good. But that's the way it is with all the things. The Maccabees, in the Catholic Bible, you got the Maccabees, kind of a historical record of Israel. They got some other books in there, though, that is just flat out goofy. That's why they're not canonized. They're not in the Hebrew Bibles. So I think that is enough said, but I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you so much.
Stay online. Send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs I hope you'll really like, and perhaps pass those along to your friend, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Raquel, Arlington, Fort Worth. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
So I was going to ask, as far as like all the weapons cache that was left in Afghanistan, do you think that that's going to be set up for like Iran and Russia and China to set up Ezekiel 38?
I believe so. I believe that they're going to, I believe what it's going to do is it's going to embolden them. In other words, look, we have these sophisticated weapons now. We're going to be able to do and put a hurting on Israel a whole lot more than we were before. And we already know that, according to reports last week, that Iran had doubled their amount of soldiers up Israel-Syria border. And so now with this cache of weapons, it won't take them long to figure out how to use all this stuff. So, yeah, I believe that a Ezekiel 38-39 war now is not only absolute, but probably sooner than even we had thought, because they're emboldened now. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, it's all lining itself up for the Ezekiel war with the Islamic nations coming against the nation of Israel. And God will intervene, according to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. He will destroy these invading armies. But again, these are days of prophetic fulfillment, and these are days that we get to share with our world that doesn't know Christ, and they will realize this is coming, this is going to happen. Come to Christ for salvation. Mike, hand it back to you.
Yeah, I hope that helps. Stay in line, Raquel. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we want to just encourage you to call us back tomorrow. We'll try to give you a first row seating. And it's always a good thing to do that. Thank you, Daryl, for being on the program. And may the Lord bless you, keep you in his love. Remember, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. God bless you. Good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. On iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.